Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Pepe will look back on Sunday's 1-1 draw against St Johnston. We'll look ahead to cup action for Motherwell at the weekend, and we'll maybe discuss our feelings on certain members of the squad attending other teams' fixtures this midweek. How's it going, mate?
Hi, all good. Good to get a point on the board.
Yeah, it was, and it was a fairly decent performance as well. I felt at times in the first half, we just lacked that killer edge, and as the game went on at 1-0 behind, you're thinking that it's going to be one of those days. But a fantastically taken goal. Tony Pott, who had dropped out the starting 11, linking up with another substitute, Stevie Lawless, a cracking ball across and a cracking finish as well, taking in the full volley. A point from McDermott Park, I think we both agreed last week that we would settle for that. It gets us on the board, the ball's rolling, and it takes us into Saturday's cup tie as well in good spirits.
It does. It's a good point. Probably looking at it, the draw may have been a fair result, but I would say that we'd have better chances if you look at them throughout the course of the entirety of the game. They maybe had more of the ball. But the encouraging thing for me is when you look back to last year, a few of the games, the ones that stick in my mind are kind of Ross County and even a couple of the European games. We didn't really seem to be creating any chances whatsoever. And over the last few games, there's been times where we could have scored 3, 4, 5 goals in a game. So that's got to be encouraging. Obviously, the main surprise for me was the inclusion of Connor Shields, where it was kind of a... Graham Alexander had alluded to the fact that he would have been... or not him particularly, but the squad would be much the same. So that seems to be a kind of regular trait with McGabby the week before and stuff like that. So I don't know how I feel about that. I find it a wee bit frustrating at times, as I've already said, about the lack of updates, re-injuries, and then all of a sudden players are playing. I find it a bit strange that he hadn't even had any minutes under his belt at all. Came straight into the starting team. But listen, it was a good point. My man of the match was Xander Clark for the amazing saves that he pulled off. And that speaks volumes if their keeper is going to be the best player on the park. So we must have had to make them work for it.
Yeah, and the inclusion of Shields is an interesting one because, as you mentioned, it was the man with a big question mark over his head, I suppose, throughout pre-season and then into the opening fixture against Hibs. For him to suddenly appear not only in the squad but in the starting 11 and replacing a player that tends to have a big impact on our team was quite a surprising move. How do you feel he managed in the 70 minutes or so he got on the park?
If I'm honest with you, I was quite... excited, I suppose, to see how he fitted in, because I don't really know a great deal about him. And to be honest with you, I still don't really know a great deal about him. I don't think that I really know what type of player he is. He certainly looks as if he's going to be quite a busy, maybe a wee bit of pace. But to be honest, I can't really remember anything that he did. The only thing that I do remember is that he got booked, and I don't know whether that influenced him. So he seems as if he's quite a kind of wee fiery type. But I think that's part of the problem with this formation. When for example, when you sign, if you look at the signings of likes of Tony Watt, Van Veen, Shields, they, you would all think that they are your old kind of stereotypical number nine, but they seem to get put out wide in the wing. Obviously, Tony Watt comes on and plays in the left now more than he does through the middle. So I think that, I suppose I still reserve judgment on him. Nobody can make up their mind on Connor Shields on a 70-minute performance. But I will say is, we certainly look more dangerous when Tony Watt come back on. But you can't judge somebody after that kind of brief encounter that he had.
I suppose the other thing is, you look at the result that St Johnstone had in Turkey 3 days prior against Galatasaray, to then go and, I guess, seize the initiative in terms of going ahead, despite the fact that, as you rightfully pointed out, we did have chances prior to Stephen O'Donnell's own goal about 11 minutes before half-time. The changes, quite often we've moaned that Graham Alexander's a bit reluctant to change things up, and I dare say we've kind of suffered as a result a few times. But here he's made two subs. Tony Watt comes on for Connor Shields. Stevie Lawless replaces Liam Donnelly. And it proves to be a very satisfying substitution for the manager, because the two link up for the goal. So got kind of a nod of the cap there as well to the boss who's made a change that has ensured a share of the spoils.
I mean, at the end of the day, that thing you've got to take into consideration with that is that we put a wee bit of fresh legs on when I think they were tiring with their exploits, and you need to give them credit. They had a phenomenal result. It just adds to their kind of a great period that they've had, winning two cups and then getting an amazing draw. But you can see them tiring, and I think Graham Alexander recognised that, and the substitutions were there to put us more into the attacking mind of the game, with Lawless kind of slotting into the midfield. Again, Liam Donnelly hasn't really produced in the games that he's been back. But let's not forget, he's hardly kicked a ball. And just one other wee thing that again, going back to, we discussed Stephen O'Donnell at length last week, and I've been quick to jump to his defence, but he hasn't really having his form now. Whether that's down to tiredness, that he's not really had any rest, he's been at the Euros and stuff like that, he was really unlucky. He's given away a penalty in an OG, that's done in black and white, and I think he's slightly facing an uphill battle, because I think when we were getting beat 1-0 with his OG, I was kind of really worried that there was going to be a negative outpouring abuse toward him. So I'm just hoping that his luck starts to change, and he goes on and has a cracking few games in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I could have had this, I had a similar conversation on Sunday night, and I think really the penalty, looking back on it, and I've watched it again a couple of times since we recorded last week's podcast, because I thought it was maybe a wee bit harsh when, given that the proximity to the ball was really close. But I feel that O'Donnell still has got his arm trailing, and that's what's ultimately led to the referee awarding the penalty. But Sunday, I just don't think that, while it can be pointed out that we've lost four goals this season and Stephen O'Donnell's been a focal point of both of them, he's been a focal point of two out of the four, but I really don't think he can do a great deal about that one in Sunday, can he?
That's one of the ones where it hits off him. I suppose you could look at the whole back line with our positions, but at the end of the day, it is an unfortunate ricochet, and it ends up in the back of the net. These things happen in football. It just seems that the thing, he's not getting a rub of the green at the moment, and I hope that the fans give him a wee bit of time, because I don't think there'll be much better that a club of our size would get in Stephen O'Donnell. He knows the league well, he's experienced. We're really just going over all ground what we've said. I'm not blaming him for it at all. And you can see that it frustrated him, which for me I took as a positive. But we'll just see how the coming weeks hopefully improves.
I certainly don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to let his head drop either, to be perfectly frank with you. I think that comes across as a guy that's able to kind of block out the pressures of the game. He's got clearly a family man. Interviews I've seen, he mentions the fact that it's only really what his manager and his teammates are saying to him that really matters. They're the ones that are more than likely to affect your mindset when you're coming into games. What you and I are saying in this podcast, or any of the 4,000 people inside Fir Park are saying, I think he's able to block that out. I think he was able to block out at Kilmarnock. He seems to have been able to block out when there was fans in the stadiums for the Euros games. So I can only see positive things for Stephen O'Donnell, and that maybe sounds far too much glass half full, but I really do believe he's a huge asset to the club, and now that he's the club captain as well, I think he'll turn it around. I think there's a good couple of games coming up as well that will really give him a good opportunity to do so. But I think you're right. I think a few in social media have spoken up about him, possibly on the back of the inclusion in the Euros team and being a big part of it. It's easy to forget he started all three games, and there was a lot of talk about the fact that a Motherwell right back was playing for the national side, especially given that the young Nathan Patterson was an option as well. But Steve Clark stuck with him, and that seemed to kind of drive him on. And I think Graham Alexander will be the exact same. And he's put that leap of faith in him as well by giving him the captaincy.
I agree with absolutely everything that you say. I mean, if it was just to do with, like, he's not had the best two games, and I still have got, I felt really bad for him after the Czech Republic game where he was getting the blame. He just a bit felt as if it was the majority of the country for Scotland not beating, which was proven to be a really good side. And I just would have hated that to influence his season at Motherwell. You could feel the kind of the fans getting on his back at Airdrie. As you say, I think he'll go on to be a great captain. The only thing that seems to frustrate me is they're always, and this is nothing that the fans can control, nothing that Stephen O'Donnell can control. There always seems to be a fair bit of press about him moving on, and I think that unsettles the support as much as it does the player. Obviously, we spoke about the Sunderland looking at him and stuff like that. But ever since he's been here, there's always been talk of him moving on. But I just hope after we get this transfer window, he knuckles down. I think toward the end of the season, he really hit form. And I thought he looked really, really good. And I think that'll come back in the coming weeks. And you make a really good point about Hibs are a really good side. St Johnstone, on paper, you would think, well, they don't look like maybe the best, but they've been one of the most successful teams in the last few years in Scottish football. And we've had a really difficult start, and I don't think that we've been outclassed by any shape or form. So the game against Dundee, the game against Livingston, and then Dundee again, is games that you're going to expecting to win.
Yeah, you take us in nicely to the cup game on Saturday. Good news again ahead of this in terms of fans being able to make the trip to Dens Park. 1,000 Motherwell fans will be in attendance for the game, should we sell our allocation, of course. Dundee's result on Sunday was a wee bit of an eye-opener. I think that given they had battled to a 2-2 on the opening day against St Mirren, that they would have been in a better mindset than to go and fold quite the way they did against Celtic. But you turn that around and it looked like Celtic were in full flow, a kind of performance reminiscent of some of the Brendan Rodgers type stuff where they just steamroller teams. So you can't really read too much into a 6-0 defeat against Celtic, which could pretty much happen to any other team in the league, with the exception of Rangers, you would have to imagine. So we go into this one buoyed by getting a late equaliser against St Johnstone. But at the same time, we've got to be wary that Dundee will also be desperate to bounce back, especially given that they'll have a strong home support in behind them.
I also wonder as well if he'll use the squad a wee bit more in this game. So whether it'll be a true reflection or not, the player that immediately springs to mind is Ojala. Is this a game where he uses him to adjust him to the Scottish game? I hate playing a team that's just been hammered. It's just the way that my mind works. I always feel that they've, especially playing them in Dundee, they'll have a point to prove to their fans. But listen, psychologically, their players will be hurt with that, and we've got to capitalise on that. I do think that we go into this game as favourites, despite us only getting the 1 point. I think our performances, although the St Johnstone first half wasn't great, I think we've got more than enough to take up there and win the game. As I said, Ojala potentially playing, maybe he'll continue with Connor Shields. And I would like to see Tony Watt coming back into it. Potentially the guys, like I heard him at his press conference last week saying that maybe a couple of players, like potentially Mark O'Hara, will come back. So I wouldn't be surprised if the manager uses this to try and get minutes in players' legs, the likes of potentially Grimshaw and O'Hara that I've mentioned, just to try and get them up to speed a wee bit, to utilise the squad more. And saying that, I want to, obviously I'm getting up, really looking forward to it on a away day, although you can say Airdrie was an away day, wasn't it really? So I'm really looking forward to getting back up there. Ironically, I think that was my last away game. And we've had a really good record up there. A pity that Craig Tanner isn't here, because he seemed to have a right good knack at scoring against Dundee. But the last performance up there was kind of when Chris Long really started to show his worth. So hopefully we got there and add to their poor performance against Celtic.
Yeah, it does seem like, I think that's now 8 trips to Dense Park without defeat, so that is certainly a positive going into the game. Though part of my negative mindset says that these kind of runs are always there to be broken as well. So I don't think that they'll be actually unbeaten in the last 10 matches against Dundee, stretching back to mid 17, and they've won the last 6 at Dens Park. So certainly a happy hunting ground, but. Again, flipping it on its head, we're facing a different animal than we were back then. It's the first meeting in about a year and a half, so there's plenty to play for. And I guess the thing is with Graham Alexander as well, you're wanting to see him getting a cup run under his belt. We got to the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup last year, just came up short in that game in penalties. I'm sure he'll want to take the team deeper into the competition. And we all know that anything can happen from that point onwards.
I mean, you've only got to look at the year that Steve Robinson took us to the final of the League Cup. For me, it doesn't just have just that shine of the Scottish Cup, but a trip to Hampden, and it's still in the intro of this podcast, the semi-final of the League Cup against Rangers will live with me forever. A cup run, you just can't beat it. I don't care if it's the League Cup or the Scottish Cup. To see Motherwell lifting a trophy would be amazing at this stage of my life, with my kids and my nephews and stuff like that. It would be absolutely brilliant, and it's really important, I think, for Motherwell to go on these cup runs. I do have a feeling, though, as I said, that the manager may try and use a wee bit of his squad, which may take a wee bit of the kind of consistency away from the squad that we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Do you not think we need to be a bit careful in doing that, though, as well? Yeah. Just due to the fact that we've still not got that first proper victory of the season, if you will. We've not beaten a team in the same league as us This will be the third go at trying to do so. And I think that would make a massive difference going into the big league games against Livi and Dundee as well. If you get that monkey off your back and you go into the two games prior to the international break with that wee bit of momentum, I can see exactly where you're coming from. And I think another one I would throw into the mix there is the fact that he's talked up the fact that Liam Grimshaw has still got a bit to go. And that straight away made me think, well, he said this about a few folk in the last couple of weeks. Maybe Liam Grimshaw's ready to go. So I'm maybe beginning to second guess everything he says in terms of the...
How do you feel about that? How do you feel that... I mean, I don't expect the manager to come out of his press conference and say, this is my starting 11, this is going to be my formation, this is going to be my tactics. But for him to rule out players and then play them... I don't know, is it just mind games? It's just his way?
I think that's exactly what it is, and I don't really have any objection to it either. I think that he's clearly stealing a march from folk like you and I who aren't in the know, but it must be surprising opposition managers as well, because there's nothing to base putting in Mugabe from the start on what he had said and in previous matches. There's nothing to base Conor Shields coming in from the start, and it maybe just forces the hand of the opposition a wee bit into changing things up somewhat and maybe unsettling their squad. So I think it's just anything to get an advantage, and that goes with changing over the sides of the dugouts at Firth Park and things like that. If Graham Alexander thinks it's going to give us an edge, then fire in. I'm not too perturbed about the fact that we've not had the regular injury updates, because until the latter years of Stephen Robinson, we never get that in the past. You would maybe get it in a Friday at the press conference, but beyond that, you wouldn't hear much about player injuries or certainly timescales until the manager came out and revealed it. So if he's playing a wee bit cute and trying to steal a match in the opposition, if it works, then I'll be absolutely delighted.
I suppose another way, if you look at it as well, I mean, it'll keep other managers guessing, because they'll think, is he just telling me porky pies to try and put me off the scent? And I think this will be the team. So I suppose in a roundabout way it has its advantages, and then when it gets to that kind of hour before kickoff, you really don't know what the team's going to be. And I suppose in a few years ago you can never could pick the team every week yourself, whereas in Saturday, other than maybe four or five players, I wouldn't be surprised if there was kind of four or five changes in that team, just with the way that he has, because he has said that he's going to use the squad and stuff. I really do think that I would not be surprised if there was at least kind of two or three changes in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I suppose the other thing is you've potentially got, well, we know that there's behind closed doors and bounce games going on as well. So there could be guys like Grimshaw, Ayala, much more up to speed, Conor Shields as well, much more up to speed than we were aware of because these games are taking place. So, yeah, it's hard to have any kind of background to it, but I think it must be working to our advantage.
My chain of thought is, you mentioned, like, I'll use Ricky Lamy and even Stephen O'Donnell to an extent, who have played just about every minute of every game since the League Cup. Stephen O'Donnell in particular, obviously, I've already said that he's only really 10 days off. Now, that may not sound that bad to us, but at the end of the day, these guys are... It's a professional sportsman, so it must be kind of telling on the body. And Ricky Lamy, I've got to say that I thought that's Ricky Lamy's best game for Motherwell. It was against St Johnstone. I thought he was really good. But it wouldn't surprise me if it's Ojala comes in for him, just and Ricky's on the bench, because I think he had an illness up until the Millwall game, and then he's played every minute every game since then. So wee things like that, I think Graham Alexander's most important factor, and rightly so, is the league campaign. So the reason he's signing guys like Ojala and whatnot, I think that he'll start on Saturday, which I think would be harsh on Ricky Lamy, because I think you've made a really good point that the international break's coming up soon, and I would maybe getting a settled starting 11 is the best thing. But this is where the manager, like it or loathe it, he keeps you guessing right up until the last minute.
Yeah. And another thing to consider, Stephen O'Donnell will be in that Scotland squad, barring injuries. I would say that he's an absolute certainty. So he's got the potential of playing three games. And while I don't think he will play all three games in the space of, was it 8 or 9 days, Moldova, Austria and Denmark, there's three massive games for the national side. So it's not as if you can afford Stephen O'Donnell 5 or 6 days recuperation time during an international break. And I would imagine that some of the first team might get 3 or 4 days off. That won't happen for Sods, who's going to need to get straight in a plane overseas and play in three high-intensity matches. So it's certainly no rest for the wicked there. I think that there would be a lot of logic in resting him. Either that or just going out and blowing them out of the water in the first half and just making their changes at half time. That would be quite nice as well.
That would be a perfect solution. But as you said, you've mentioned Liam Grimshaw, whether or not it's almost like it would start with him and see how he's going, or give O'Donnell the first hour and bring Grimmy on for the last half an hour. But again, none of us know. But I look forward to seeing the team line as much as I do the kickoff these days, because you just can't predict what it's going to be. And I suppose that now that I actually sit and quantify it in my head, I think, you know what, it's probably quite a good thing. If I would like to an avid fan can't pick it, what chances opposition got to picking out your starting 11 on a Saturday.
Yeah, and still a couple more to come before the close of the window in 20 days' time as well. So I think that things are shaping up reasonably well when it comes to guys coming back into the reckoning as well. We've got the likes of young Max Johnson and David Devine, who we should have a chance as well. You've also had Dean Cornelius, who fared reasonably well in his Betfred games, and you'd have to imagine he's only going to get better with more first team experience, whether that means going out on loan or being afforded the opportunity in games that the manager feels like he's ready to step up in. So plenty of options for Graham Alexander. I had mentioned in the intro that we're going to talk about this, and now I'm going to put my cards on the table straight away. Stephen Lawless was on the telly at the Rangers Malmo game at Ibrox last night. And there was a fairly big reaction from other fans, and it spread over to Steelman Online. Now, I went to check the thread just before we started recording, and it seems to have disappeared. So I don't know whether that's been by the request of someone within the club or whatnot. But anyway, it's away. The fact of the matter is, for me, we've talked on this podcast already, this episode, that Stephen Lawless came off the bench, played a big role in setting up an equalising goal on Sunday. Motherwell, unfortunately, aren't in European competition. Unfortunately, every player that signs for Motherwell Football Club doesn't automatically support the football club. And then there's an argument for the fact that Rangers are in the same league as Motherwell, and Is that a conflict of interest going along to Ibrox? Well, from looking through Stephen Lawless's social media history, as I very sadly did prior to coming on as well, he's never really hidden the fact he's a Rangers supporter. It's something that he does when he's not playing football for whatever team he's played for in the past. He's went along to Ibrox to support the team. It was a European night. It was a massive game for Rangers, of course. I'm sure Stephen Lawless didn't really enjoy his evening very much. But I just can't really see the logic behind such a an over the top reaction here, Pepe?
Aye, I actually thought that you'd have been the opposite, just the way that you were kind of saying it, and I agree with you. For me, the best example that I could give would be, say, Motherwell, we get into Europe next season and we get a glamour tie, for talking sake, say it's like PSV or Galatasaray or Dortmund again or something like that, and it's captured the whole community, and there's pictures of David Turnbull coming in to support Motherwell. I don't think that Celtic would have that reaction. He's coming to, obviously, it's a team that he supported as a boy, so that we'd like to believe. He's from the local area. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think if Stephen Lawless comes on, and I don't think he'll start against Dundee, but if he comes on and is another decent performance, for me, I couldn't care less if he's about to watch Rangers. There's been numerous other. I remember, was it Stephen Hendry, the left back that we signed? He was pictured in the Celtic end at an Old Firm game with a Celtic scarf from it not on.
I think the circumstances in that one were so markedly different as well, because that was weeks before we were due to play Celtic in the final of the Scottish Cup, and you kind of had the wee bit as well that he hadn't kicked his arse in his time at the...
I'm only using that as a kind of fleeting example, and they are different but similar at the same time. For me, I don't have an issue when I'm going to watch Rangers, and if he wanted them to win, then fair enough. Here's one though. What do you think the same reaction would have been if Tony Watt had went to Celtic Park?
No, I think, to be perfectly honest, if he'd come in and been shit hot, which let's be honest, it has struggled at points since he's come in January, then this would be swept under the carpet and forgotten about within minutes. But that's, it just seems like there's almost a determination for a mock outrage.
But I think that's down to the fact that he's been slightly he has been disappointing. He showed the odd kind of a game what he's got in his locker. For example, coming off the bench against St Johnstone and putting that kind of great ball in for a great finish for Tony Watt. But he's not been overly popular with the fans. And I think when a player's not popular, anything at all for his personal life that gets up people's noses is going to be intensified. That's why I'm using the example of Tony Watt. Tony Watt is clearly a fan's favourite. He's clearly had a great time when he was at Celtic, scoring against Barcelona that were reminded on an almost weekly basis, not by Tony Watt, but by Celtic fans. So if he turned up, if Celtic got a glamour tie against Barcelona and for whatever European competition they're in, I wouldn't have battered an eyelid. I think it's the fact that it's Stevie Lawless and he's maybe one of the most popular player, and it has intensified. For me, it's when he pulls on that Motherwell jersey, he gives it 100%. I think a good example actually is, and I know that you spoke to Scott McDonald before in relation to this, but obviously he scored two of the most historical Motherwell goals that they'll be when we stop Celtic winning the league, and unfortunately it was Rangers that ended up winning it. But he then says that he came into the changing room and was absolutely kind of devastated, because he knew that he'd not let his family down, but he had kind of caused all this pain and suffering onto his Celtic supporting family. What I'm saying is that he went out though knowing that he was a Celtic supporter, knowing that he'd probably been to Celtic Park numerous occasions, and gave 110% and scored two goals that stopped them from winning the league. What would stop Stevie Lawless from doing that?
Exactly. The thing is, if it was the case that he hadn't come up against the team that he supports and not put in a shift, or there was anything kind of sort of suspicious about it, you would then maybe have your reservations, but there's just nothing in it. There's nothing in it other than it was a quiet Wednesday night. Anything else than really. And the thing is, I very much hope, though, we've talked about the effect that fans can have on players. This is a guy that's maybe coming on to something. He's come off the bench, set up a goal. He's possibly got a wee bit of momentum behind him and be raring to go for Saturday. The fans need to let this one slide for me. I can't tell the fans what to do, of course I can't, but I really believe that there's much more pressing issues here, and the main one being the success of the Motherwell Football Club. So, no, I don't think it's a big deal. The players, and it'll be one of many inside a dressing room at most Scottish football teams, let's be honest. There's two clubs that are massively bigger than the rest of us, and the majority of people that you'll meet, whether that be at your own work or anywhere else, there'll be a lot of them support Rangers or a lot of them will support Celtic. And footballers are no different. They will have their preference, many of them. So, nah, just move on, concentrate on getting behind everyone that pulls on a claret and amber jersey, especially just now when we're needing that first win to kick us on. And we're beginning to see that there is green shoots of positivity there as well when it comes to, maybe shouldn't have used the green shoots when I'm talking about Stevie Lawless's performances, but yeah, there's some signs there that things are getting better. So I would just be keen to see people stick with them. Although I've got this wee nagging doubt that if he's introduced and things aren't going so well, the fans could turn very quickly.
Oh,
a section of the fans.
Aye, no, but I suppose you're at risk of that with any player. We've just covered that with Stephen O'Donnell, but what I will say is he'll be aware of the reaction. The club will be aware of the reaction, and it's up to him now to then go out and prove his doubters wrong, and maybe that'll be an extra wee bit of motivation for him to go out and prove that he's there for to fight for the jersey and to fight to get in the starting 11. So the ball's in his court. He needs, end of the day, everybody's got different opinions, and it'd be a boring world if we all the same, which I've said numerous times. But he's got the opportunity to go and show us what he can do, because he's not really done that as yet. And hopefully this will be that wee extra kind of a motivation where he can go and prove himself, and he justifiably wins the fans with his performances, know what team he does or doesn't support.
I think we've pretty much agreed in most matters over the course tonight. Just a final one, and again, it's one that's not really got much substance to it. Still no announcement from the club regarding full capacity at Fir Park. I know a few teams have already announced that the return of full capacities within their stadiums. Do you think the fact that the Motherwell had pretty much the capability to host an average crowd or an above average crowd for that opening game against Hibs, you can't really see it changing at this point, could you?
No, I think Motherwell have been quite proactive in their approach to having things planned. What I will say though, going off the topic, is that see having that wee bit where we'd been to just about every game, with the League Cup, Airdrie, the first game of the season, see that come back to the stream again. It was soul destroying. And I think you could feel it in the game, the intensity of the game. I mean, the fact that you could hear Tony Watt giving it the big woohoo when he scored. I mean, it was weird. And I really hope that even if, I mean, Motherwell, let's be honest, right? If Motherwell got 1,000 tickets to every away game, the majority of them would be sold. We wouldn't need many more, depending on the size of the game. So that's all. If we get that, I'll be more than happy. And I'm more encouraged now to go to as many away games as I can. I can't see it getting back. But I mean, look at the difference in the atmosphere of Motherwell v Hibs to what Motherwell St Johnstone was. And think what it would have been like if we had 500-600 fans up there making a noise. Like when Tony Watt scored, you're kind of up off the couch, and then you're thinking, oh, but now there's not much noise. Is this going to get chopped off and stuff? It's the old cliche that fans make football, and I think that the Hibs game is a proven point. You know what I mean? See that it was Celtic that are saying that there'll be no away fans. I just think that it really does make a difference to the atmosphere of the game, that there's no fans shouting at each other for 90 minutes. I wouldn't like it to be. I hope that away fans are continually allowed into Fir Park. With the 5,000 rule, we will always be fine with the core support that we have. But I just hope that the away fans continue, because I thoroughly enjoyed the Hibs game, whether it was just a novelty being back at the football. But if there was another lockdown or whatever, it would just be such a nightmare when you're back to loving being back to the football.
Yeah, it would certainly seem to be very much on the brink of the return. I think there's obviously this is, I saw with Celtic, is there's some reason they can't use parts of the main stand. So that they've rightfully, in my opinion, made sure that they accommodate their own first and then worry about whether there is or isn't space for visiting supporters. What would annoy me though is if I turned on the television on Sunday afternoon and saw there was only 25,000 there, you would then go, well, surely you could have afforded Hearts the luxury having 1,000 supporters there getting behind their team. And I'm sure that given they've won their first two league matches as well, they'd be right up for getting to that game. But it just really is what it is for now in terms of it might be a wee bit of a slower process getting away fixtures back on the regular. Aberdeen had fans at Livingston last weekend, so again, you're hoping, and you wouldn't imagine that they'll deviate away from that plan too far when Mother will come a-calling on this, the 21st, is it? And then before you know it, you're back at Fir Park for the league match against Dundee, and then you've got the international break. So I think we're at home the week following the international break as well. So there won't be too many games to worry about until hopefully around about the middle of September. So I think that on the whole it's looking positive, but it's a very moving situation, and a situation with many moving parts that we've found out to our cost anytime we've got too over optimistic in the last 18 months. So fingers crossed, but yeah, certainly great to have fans back for the cup game, and fair play to Dundee as well, because they seem to put in the request on behalf of both clubs. And they've clearly done the right thing in terms of being allocated more by the local council. So happy days there.
Aye, and I'm actually glad that I hate sitting behind the goal, so it's good that we're going to be in the main stand. I think I've only ever been in the main stand at Dens Park once or twice or something. It was a long time ago, but I always quite enjoy getting a wee trip up to Dundee, probably because it's been kind of a happy hunting ground recently. But it's just getting back into that kind of habit of having your weekend. And I suppose you see a lot of the fans on Twitter and stuff like that saying, any update, and you can see how much they just want to be able to plan our weekends and how much it means. And it must be really frustrating for the clubs that it's not them that's making the decisions. But I'm really looking forward to Saturday. And it must be difficult as well for like your supporters clubs and stuff like that, and that are trying to organise buses, and they're worried about the kind of protocols that need to be followed. So this is just going to be a trial and error.
That's a smashing point, actually, though, in terms of a bit of notice as well. That I think that's the next, along with away fans, that's another thing that would be a massive help, because that was only yesterday so 4 or 5 days before the fixture's due to take place, Motherwell fans finding out that they can go to the game. Now, there'll be plenty of people that were holding their weekend plans back with the
the aspiration to get to Dens Park, but there'll be others that, as time went on, made alternative plans. That's no fault of Dundee or Motherwell. It's just the way the situation is just now. And I was actually quite surprised, given it was a cup game and anything, the weather will be quite good in August, first proper away day back. I thought the tickets would sell quite quick, but it was only 24 hours later that they put them on to general sale, so they've not really shifted quite as quickly as they thought it would.
I think as well, though, I read a couple of posts on Twitter where obviously you get your different type of fans. You get your fans that want to travel up in cars, but myself and my wee boy sometimes went in the world famous Jim Frames bus, and there's also fans that like to go up in the training and have a couple of refreshments. But I noticed that the train is some like 50 quid. I mean, that's ridiculous. And it's not the club's responsibility to get buses, but it really does make it difficult for the kind of normal fan then to, if they don't drive or whatever, then there's going to be limited supporters buses. You would think that with the circumstances you're in, like as I've said, when you go to like Germany and stuff like that, that if you show a match ticket and where you're going, your travel's free. But when I read that today that it's 50 quid to get to Motherwell to Dundee, I mean, that's just an absolute joke. You're probably not even guaranteed to get there in time with the way that the Scottish Rail Service is, but £50 a bit steep, is it not?
Yeah, and again, it's something that used to be the case. You got the four tickets if you got it in advance enough. It was called the Friends Fair. You get four tickets for 40 quid return, and you used to use them for Inverness away or Aberdeen away, but you had to buy them 3-4 months in advance. Now, when you're having to start booking things like that 4 or 5 days in advance, and buses aren't running due to the distancing measures as well, that's when problems are created. And it's such a shame, and Scotland have always been absolute arseholes for that in terms of there's not been any kind of ways of working with football clubs to get, how many times have you heard Aberdeen fans having to come down for a semi-final kickoff at Hampden for a 12:30 on a Sunday? And the usual response is, well, we can't get there. The first train gets us in at 1:15. We're going to miss the first half at the very best scenario. It's just...
I've been fortunate enough to quite a few German games. I always harp on about kind of German football. It's, I would say that probably 90%, maybe that's a bit much, maybe 80% of people travel to the games by rail in Germany. The fan experience is great. Now, whether that's just down to the culture or whatever else, I don't know. But going forward, we've got to learn for this. I mean, we're going on about we're wanting people to get back to some sort of normal, but I mean, if you look at it, to be fair to Dundee, the pricing structure is actually not too bad. 20 quid for an adult, then my wee boy's 10, so it was only a fiver for his ticket. So I think that side of it is good, but the fact that if I was wanting to go on the train, I'd probably be looking at another near enough, well, I don't know what the price for a kid's fare would be, but I'd probably be in the region of kind of 75 quid or something like that. I mean, that's just...
And the thing is, people consume the product in different ways as well. If you're going up and having a train day, you're going to the pub, you're getting something to eat, suddenly you're talking no change personally from 100 quid. In fact, you'd be stretched to only spend £100 if you're paying 50 odd quid for your train and £20 for your ticket.
It's almost as if it's a deterrent, to be honest.
And people have got out of the habit over the last 18 months, and we're going to talk really positively about the return of fans to stadiums, but it just does bring back that age-old argument about people getting out the habit of going to football. And that happened
prior to the pandemic as well. But don't get me wrong, the SPFL can't do a great deal about the prices in ScotRail trains. They've got a hell of enough of their own issues to be addressing, but it does all work into it.
I mean, I don't know what the kind of the answer to it is, right? But you've got the majority of the complaints in the trains going to be for disorder and drinking and stuff like that. But see if they were actually they sold a part of the train specifically for football, whether it be a club liaison says, right, there'll be a train leaving Mullerwell going to Dundee, whatever carriage it is, carriage 10 is for football fans only, and you go in there, and we're not saying you go in there and do whatever you want, obviously there's got to be some sort of, and this is the price of it, and I don't know how that's done, but there's got to be something like that looked at, because I couldn't believe it today, £50.
Almost as simple as actually, if you show your match ticket, which I believe works in Germany and in France as well, on the day of a match, you get X amount off your train travel. And I think, again, it's possibly a conversation for another day, how you police the conduct in that, but that happens in every walk of life. We were down south at the weekend there, and the train from Central into Manchester, so Glasgow to Manchester, was absolutely stowed and full of folk drinking and playing music and everything else. So I think football fans are constantly targeted in a different way from inverted commas normal people in society.
That is certainly taking the point to the next kind of a level, but I suppose that's why I'm saying if you could book it in a specific way, that it's almost like the old football special trains, where you watch all these films where the West Ham fans are in a particular carriage and stuff like that. I mean, I think there's got to be, going forward, that if we want football to be an all-round experience, then there's got to be somebody, maybe not listen to this, but for me, it's got to be accommodated, it's not to be discouraged for guys to try and travel by means they're going on about, we've got this big climate change coming up, and I'm not wanting to get any talk about that, but
we're going to cover a lot of subjects every day.
But what I'm saying is they're wanting people to, you know, maybe travel in cars and stuff like that and use public transport and stuff. But it's actually cheaper to travel to Dundee in your car than where it is to go by train. Mm-hmm. So there's something wrong somewhere. And I'm actually, I can't believe that I'm discussing climate change on the MFC podcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty disgusted with you as well, to be honest. it's a relevant point. I think just a final one in that, from my point of view, I think that if you alienate, what you're doing there is you're alienating people that don't own cars, notably the younger people may not know how to drive, may not own a car. I would say that's the demographic that would have the least amount of cars or access to a car. That will hamper the atmosphere as well.
It definitely will, and I noticed that quite quickly the Motherwell Central branch had been on the ball, and they are running a bus, so if anybody is listening, they would be able to get a seat on that. I'm going up in the car with my brother-in-law and stuff, so I was thinking about going up with them, and their prices are far, far less than where it is to go on the train. So there is, obviously, it's good that we've still got the guys that are willing to take their time and effort and running buses to try and help out our fellow fans.
Yeah, this is certainly fair play to them, because it wouldn't be an easy task, certainly not at 4 or 5 days' notice. So, yeah, if it helps even just a handful make the trip to Dens on Saturday, then hopefully it will do, and they can get along and enjoy a good performance and a good day out.
Mate, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight.
Aye, that's enjoyable as ever.
Join us next week as we discuss climate change. Pepe's going to redesign the National Rail Service. And we'll maybe talk about football as well. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
About what doesn't matter to you, vindication for your regression. Perplexed is with you, tainted facts. Don't call us out because we've covered our tracks and it doesn't fit the manifesto. So sorry, son, you're gonna have to go. Write an anthem for the doomsdays because you're not gonna love and we don't love you. Don't trust the lies that have stuck like glue, no matter what you put us through.
Surprise when we rise and we hold.